The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Pensacola Opera.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. Usually you'll hear music like this when we have Malcolm Ballinger on the show for his weekly segment on Mondays, but no, we're going to change it up. And we were actually talking about this on his show the other day. Coming to the Sanger Theater, we've got the party of the season. They're saying it's going to be great. It's Die Fledermaus. It's a German opera. It's going to be great. I'm going to learn about it as we all are. I've got two sets of tickets to actually give away, so keep listening and we'll get to those. I'm joined this morning by Corey McKern, the artistic director for the Pensacola Opera. And how you doing this morning?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you. Thank you for bringing this to us. Opera and things like that, it's something that everybody, especially people who enjoy the rich culture of our area, is something they should definitely check out. When is this happening at the Sanger?
So it's Friday, March 15th at 7:30, and Sunday, March 17th, we have a matinee at 2 o'clock.
Okay. All right, and like I said, we have two pairs of tickets, so keep listening, and I'll find a way to get those in while we're doing this here. All right, and you said the Sunday is a matinee?
Correct, 2 o'clock.
Definitely want to check that out at the Sanger. And people can go online and check this out at the Sanger website or...
PensacolaOpera.com is the best place. You can there's a link for tickets, and you can purchase them there and get any other information you want.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So tell us a little bit. What is this play about? I know that you probably know everything about this and the history of it and the story of it. So what is the story behind Die Fledermaus?
So Die Fledermaus is a little different than our typical operas. It's basically German Viennese musical theater. It's an operetta composed by Johann Strauss II, who was known for composing lighter works. And in that time, it was premiered in 1874. It was sort of a popular style of writing. And Fledermaus features the famous Viennese waltz style. We just heard a bit of that. And so most operas have to do with typically a soprano and a tenor who are in love, maybe a baritone who's evil, a bass who's a father figure. And
those baritones are right, evil,
yeah,
right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And either the soprano or the tenor dies. So typically the format of opera is pretty serious. We make fun of it, but we love it.
Right.
But sometimes it's nice to have something that is well-crafted musically, but absolutely just pure comedy. And it's deceiving. The name Die Fledermaus sounds fancy, but it's in English. It's the English title is The Revenge of the Bat. And it's... has some familiar tunes that you would know that you don't necessarily know you know. And essentially the story is the lead in this is a guy named Eisenstein. And years ago he played a trick on his buddy who passed out on a park bench. And he put these... to make a short story endless, which is my specialty. he got into a situation where everyone thought he looked like a bat and made fun of him. Mm. And that's... So the revenge of the bat is... This character, Dr. Falke, is going to play a prank on his buddy Eisenstein. Mm. Eisenstein has to go to prison for 8 days for assaulting an official. And so Falke, his buddy, comes and says, hey, skip prison for the night. Come to this ball, this party I'm having at a famous Russian prince's house named Orlovsky. So Eisenstein goes to the party. In the meantime, his wife, Rosalinda, has her... how should I word this? She has a boyfriend come over. She thinks her husband's in prison. This guy comes over.
Oh, okay. Wow, this is getting deep here. All right.
The cop comes. He takes the boyfriend, who's a tenor, to jail while Eisenstein's at the party. Hmm. And then his wife, Eisenstein's wife, ends up going to the party in disguise and seduces her own husband, who he doesn't know is his wife. complicated enough yet?
A little bit, but I'm very, very interested. Is there usually this amount of comedy in German operettas? Is this
Yeah,
common?
The operetta style is typically funny. This one happens to be very good. And this production in particular, so I made most of my living until the last few years as an opera singer, as a baritone. Mm-hmm. And I've done this particular production twice, which was created by a guy named John Humes, who is the artistic director of Nashville Opera, which is a wonderful company. John is a really well-known and respected director who we're lucky to have in our community doing this show. And so I just loved, you know, the piece is fun and funny. John wrote the dialogue. It moves very quickly. It's as John told our cast the first day, he said, listen, I don't want to know about your character arc. I don't want to know, you know, your backstory. I want set up, punchline. You know, these jokes work. And it has sort of a modern vaudeville feel to it.
All right. For people coming to this operetta that may have not seen one before, what can they expect? How many acts? How long is this going to be?
It's just shy of 3 hours, and there are three acts, and it starts out in their house, and then there's the big party scene, which is a lot of fun. Also will feature the Ballet Pensacola, and then the third act takes place in the jail.
Is it common for people to just take a night off from prison? That kind of struck my ear. I'm like, oh, how do you do that?
Well, maybe in that time. It's right. Typically not, but it all worked out for him since his wife's boyfriend got taken to jail.
Exactly. Now, people have been telling me it's Defledermaus. Is it Defledermaus?
Defledermaus. But, you know, listen, call it any way you like.
All right. Sounds good. I'll just cross that out there. Defledermaus. All right, because I said it earlier, and Malcolm Ballinger kind of made fun of me because he was like, no, it's not like deflating a mouse. and he actually knew the whole story behind it. He's seen it before, and he's a big fan. So you can also see that, you know, in the Pensacola Magazine, things like that. But
Malcolm is on our board, a big supporter, good friend of the opera, and a gentleman that knows opera very well.
He really does. All right, if you have any questions, let us know, 437-1620. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jake Walker, your host. My guest this morning, Corey McKern, the artistic director for the Pensacola Opera, bringing us Defledermaus. It's going to be a very funny, very entertaining 3 hours of German operetta. If you haven't gotten out and seen anything like this, I think now is the time to get the family together and go see it. Are there any things that the kids might be a little sensitive to, or is it all, you know, family friendly?
It's family friendly. I mean, the theme sounds mature, infidelity in prison, but it's not. It's all lighthearted and funny. And we're fortunate to have a really wonderful cast in town of international opera singers as our guests doing the show. They're all very talented.
Okay, we have a couple pairs of tickets to give away, and since I don't really have a whole lot of time because I have to get a lot of information from the winners, let's do it this way. Let's set up a text line here. So 437-1620, if you're listening right now, I'm going to give away a pair of tickets right now. Be the first text in with your full name and your phone number, and I will call you back after, if you can get a call back after 11 a.m., I will call you back and get your information from you. But just give me your full name and your phone number, and I, Jake Walker, will call you from the station here shortly after 11 today, and I will get your information. If you want a free pair of tickets to go see Defledermaus at the Sanger, and that'll be Friday, March what is
15th,
Friday?
15th.
And then we also have a matinee on Sunday at 2. All right, there we go. Janet is our winner. She takes our first pair of tickets home. And I will give you a call back here after Pep Talk at 11, and I will get the rest of your information so that you can come by and pick up those tickets here at the station. Congratulations, Janet.
Thanks, Janet.
Yeah. What is your favorite part of this operetta in particular?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think just how tight the jokes are. You know, when I performed in this piece, it was just, it moves very fast pace. And then the role that I sang, Eisenstein, who will be sung by a wonderful baritone named Daniel Belcher, it's great musically. It's higher than the standard baritone repertoire. Some tenors can sing it, and so you have to have a certain kind of voice And I just really love singing the role. Although I joked, people asked me, are you going to be in this production of Fledermaus? And I said, no, I've made the decision that many artistic directors made before me. I could either have Corey McKern or Danny Belcher, and I chose Danny Belcher. He's a wonderful baritone, has sung all over the place. He now teaches at the University of Houston as well, he's great already.
That would be hard for me to separate myself from the production, you know, especially if I've performed it before and I really enjoy it, I would want to sing it. So how hard is that to just step back and let it happen?
Actually, in a lot of ways, it's more fulfilling to bring artists to our community that I know and believe in and want to expose our audience to, and then also to have them experience how amazing our town, our community is. In a lot of ways, that is much more fulfilling than singing, actually. You know, when you're a freelance opera singer, you're in different communities all the time, kind of a part of a small part of a bigger piece of the puzzle. But helping facilitate the entire puzzle is in with a sense of community. I'm very gratified by that. So
I would think, how many people are involved in this? I mean, because you have to have costumes, right? You have to have, you know, all the music and the lights and the production. How many people can you guesstimate would be involved in this production alone?
Around 50. And we're very fortunate to have Glenn Breed, who owns Wardrobe Witchery, which is a nationally recognized costume design and rental company. And so he has been a partner of Pensacola Opera for a long time and does beautiful work. And then we have our wig and makeup designer is Brittany Rapizzi, who's also from here but also works all over the country. And then there's, you know, the tech crew. Our chorus is over 30 people. It's a fairly big cast, and 4 dancers from the ballet. It's a lot of moving parts. So keeps our stage manager very busy.
Definitely. If you're just joining us, this is the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're talking about the German operetta Die Fledermaus at the Pensacola Sanger coming up March 15th, Friday, and we're also having a Sunday matinee at 2. And we just gave away a pair of tickets. We're going to give another pair away before this segment is over, so don't go anywhere. Listen up. What other things can you say that would interest people, especially if they haven't seen a lot of operettas? What's going to stick out?
Well, certainly I started to expand on it, but our cast really is something to be seen. Our Rosalinda, the soprano, is Karashe Thompson, who coincidentally, my first time ever working singing in Pensacola was in 2007 in The Marriage of Figaro. I played the Count, and she played the Countess.
And that's a very popular.
It is. And so I met her here. And since then, she's come to Pensacola many times and is a kind of a fan favorite. And if you come to the show, you'll see why. It's a beautiful voice and a sizable voice. And Rosalinda is not an easy role. You have to have a lot of warmth in the sound, but also be able to sing high. And Karashe is great at that. She is also, along with Daniel Belcher, who they play spouses, they are wonderful acting singers, and both of them are incredibly funny. So those two together, bouncing these jokes off of each other and their chemistry, you could either go see them in places like the Metropolitan Opera or other major opera houses, or you could come see them at the Sanger March 15 and 17. And then we're fortunate to have two of our former studio artists back. Scott Lee is Dr. Falca. Scott is a young upcoming singer who has some great credits under his belt and is doing quite well. And it's great.
Is this going to be available in video form? Is it going to be filmed? I say filmed. That's how old I am. Is it going to be recorded in any way? Can people see this
online?
We only
will show some clips here and there, and we do an archival recording. But we're still in the live.
I love it.
Performing arts business, and you know, it's important to us to continue to foster this operatic tradition in this community in the highest standards possible.
And you said you've been probably singing your whole life, right?
No, I actually didn't start singing until I was 18. I went to college, to Mississippi State University, on a saxophone scholarship. I wanted to be a band director.
I was there with you. I went to school in Nashville to be a band director, and after the first semester, I was like, I don't know about this.
yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
I took a voice class my first semester and started singing, and the teacher had been an opera singer from Starkville but worked in Europe for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And I just liked it. I took to it, and I think I've told this story on here before, so pardon my repetition, but I did come home for Christmas break my freshman year of college and told my dad I wanted to be an opera singer. And he said, opera singer? I never heard your whistle. So that's where I got my auspicious beginning.
Yeah.
But it's exciting now. You know, I spent a long time singing professionally and sang over 50 roles professionally.
Wow.
But I'm really enjoying sort of going from player to coach, you know, being on the administrative side. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger, so not having to memorize hundreds of pages of music anymore is a blessing in disguise.
What's the biggest challenge you've seen in doing productions like this and training people, especially younger folks who are getting into this? What is your big challenge there?
You know, I think opera sometimes can have a stigma to it. People, it's not often these pieces aren't from our culture. They're from,
right,
you know, Europe or other places. And so just getting people exposed to get come in the door, see what we're offering. And really, there's nothing quite like what we do in town. You know, opera is a multifaceted discipline where we use we have a great partnership with the Pensacola Symphony. We often partner with the ballet. Our chorus members are drawn from the community. Many of them have voice degrees or are studying now.
Wow.
And some of them just love it and are good singers. And so really, there is no other way in our city to see international level caliber artists combined with our community, combined with our symphony, to do pieces that are hopefully visually opulent and good, and then exposing you know, people to a new thing. But I will say that generally speaking, I think you can count on us to provide a good evening of entertainment and sometimes some pathos. And, you know, we're a small town, so there's not tons to do like New York. So why not see an opera? Why not go out to dinner, you know, patronize one of our amazing local restaurants, and come see a part of your community perform with a world-class symphony and international artists? I think it's a winning combination, in my opinion.
I heard you use a word that I'm not familiar with. Forgive my ignorance, but pathos?
Yeah, you know, sometimes opera is, this one will be funny, but sometimes it's moving. You know, opera causes sometimes, when done well, it creates a heightened sense of emotion, you know, and sometimes in a piece, you know, we did La Boheme last year, and it's, you know, I was sitting in the back and just watching people wipe their eyes at the end when the soprano is dying, like they tend to do.
Right.
But it's just, you know, it's a notch above some other art forms because of the beauty of the music and the power of music to compel feelings in people.
Yes. And, you know, symphonic music, a lot of the times, especially with our younger generations, it's slept on, as they say. But the sound of the natural instruments and it all coming together with so many pieces can be very, very moving. And that's something that a lot of people won't get unless they can come out to the Sanger in places like this where you're bringing it to them. So thank you for what you do. We're talking about the German operetta, Die Fledermaus, coming to the Pensacola Sanger Friday, March 15th. What time does that show start?
7:30.
7:30, and we're going to give away some more tickets here in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. And also, they have a Sunday matinee performance at 2 p.m. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's open the text line back up, 437-1620. If you can text me your full name and your phone number, I will call you back after the 11 a.m. hour during the Fox News break, and I will get all the information so you can come by the station and pick up your tickets. So right now, text me. The first person to text in with their full name and their phone number will get our second pair of tickets. And, you know, don't fret if you don't get in this time. We've got three more pair to give away this week, so listen all week to win. Friday, March 15th, and Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m. Oh, okay, we already have a winner here. Lee Amber. Oh, I've never heard that name before. That's beautiful. Lee Amber is our winner for the second set, so I will call you back shortly after 11. Jake Walker from the Pensacola expert panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else can you tell us about this German operetta? What sets it apart for you in terms of other productions that you've done?
First off, I want to say I'll give you my email, and I'll buy each of these people that got free tickets a drink at the show.
Ooh!
So we would love to welcome new folks and
roll out
the red carpet. Yeah, I think just this particular production, the actual physical production, was created at Virginia Opera and designed by a guy named Erhard Rahm, who's a well-known designer, and it's really beautiful. And has a great style to it. And really, I just think John Humes is one of the most respected directors in the country, and he is a wonderful artist. I did many shows with him as a singer, and he is so good at what he does that there's not a wasted moment. This thing moves along, even though it's sort of lengthy as opera tends to be. Yeah. You know, there's a saying, life is short and opera's long. you know, but this one moves very fast. There are certain shows, you know, 3 hours can seem like a long time or a short time.
Exactly.
And this moves really fast. The jokes are very tight. Music's very beautiful, and the performers are very talented. So we're incredibly fortunate to have to be able to offer this, really.
And at the Sanger, there's really not a bad seat. I've been there for many, many shows. The sound, and especially, they've done some renovations recently. They've really stepped it up. It's going to sound and look amazing, I'm sure.
We are very fortunate in this town to have such a beautiful theater that is run very well. We're grateful for our partnership with the Sanger, with Jeff Sharp, who is the manager, and Kevin Sutton runs our crew needs. They've been fabulous to us.
Now, you said earlier, it's cracking me up because you're like, well, I didn't sing till I was 18, right? And then you go from not singing at all to singing opera. So that's like saying, oh, well, I kind of like science. And then the next day you're like, I'm going to be a nuclear physicist. Like, what? How do you make that jump?
Well,
did you know that you were that good? Is it just your teacher saw it in you?
No, well, kind of. You know, I was fortunate that I was in an amazing high school band program in Alabama. We were one of the top programs in the state. Sweet. So I had an excellent musical discipline. And then the only time I ever sang, I worked at a golf course in Birmingham, Alabama, and someone gave me a tape of Les Miserables, a cassette tape. I would listen to my Sony Walkman, and I would sing along, and my coworkers would make fun of me, but I thought, oh, I kind of sound like that, and then I would laugh, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just didn't have any venue for singing, and it felt easy is not the right word. It felt intuitive when I started singing, and then I used the musical skills that I developed in band, so it was kind of easy to combine the two and then get up to speed pretty quickly.
You could already read sheet music and things like that.
Correct, yeah. And my teacher was excellent. She taught me my whole technique, how to learn music, vocal music, what to expect with opera roles. And you know, really, it's such a... she had such a long career and was so important in my life. And what we do is a passed down oral tradition, and I was fortunate to have that.
Great. Go check it out at the Sanger this weekend, Friday, March 15th and Sunday the 17th at 2 p.m. We've given away two pairs of tickets. We've got three more pair to give away this week, so listen to win during Pensacola Morning News and Pep Talk. And I think also during the afternoon drive, I think they have a couple sets there, or at least a couple to give away there. So, you know, definitely tune back to win those. And we have our couple winners that we had today, and you want me to send you their information? You're going to buy them a drink.
Huh? I will. That is great.
It's coming up at the Sanger, so let us know if you have any questions real quick. We got about a minute left. I'll just go ahead and turn it over to you. What do you want to leave us with here?
Yeah, one other thing. So we would love to have you, of course, for Fledermaus the 15th and 17th. We're also doing our annual Operazzi Ball. This year's theme is a black and white theme, black and white ball. That's April 12th in the evening, and always a lot of fun, that event, and, you know, it's for a good cause. Most of the money in that goes to our education programs, and we see a lot of school-age kids during the year with our studio artist program. So, and other than that, you know, what I always want to say, and I always offer people that I meet that are interested, you know, I'll give them a couple comps to come to their first opera. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been, I think it's a unique thing to try in our town. And as much as we want to give back to our community, we also hope our community supports us and comes to see what we're doing. Because a lot of people in our town, you know, have jobs in this field and really rely on it. So we appreciate you.
Mm. I would think a lot of the people that you work next to, that you, you're friends with even, maybe don't even know that, you know, you have that talent or that you're involved in this. Not all of them, you know, are professional full-time like yourself. So it's definitely something that everybody can be involved in. Bring the family out on Friday, March 15th or Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m. Listen this week for more tickets. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for
having
me.
Corey McKern. Thank you.